Do you hear that? That's the sound of holiday joy at the Home Depot, where you can find everything you need to get ready for the holiday season, like all new festive outdoor decor. Spread more joy this season with holiday decor that is uniquely you, like our new 3.5-foot Santa and elf inflatable, each just $19.98. Available in-store and online. Oh, ho, ho. Get holiday ready right now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
We are back, and we have with us here tonight Pastor Jeff Haygood from the Living Word Church there in Columbus, Ohio. And Jeff is going to lead us all. And I, folks, there's power in prayer. Listen, all of you out there, God is listening. He listens. And there's power in prayer. We, tomorrow, is a day that, well, it's a nightmare that they have, and we failed God so many times in the place. The people were confused on August 8th. He's going to lead you in a prayer that God would give us victory, that he would raise his people up and bring his people out in huge numbers, and he would come against all of those that are trying to corrupt, those that are in the election fraud business. We know that they steal elections. They steal everything. They've been stealing the signs in our area where not one of the Democratic Communist Party signs have been stolen. Not one vote yes sign. Not one. But how many times have they come out because they're thieves? Those on the left are liars, they're murderers, and they're thieves. If you don't believe it, read Matthew chapter 25. But go ahead, Pastor Jeff.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful today because you're an all-wise God. You know all things. Your word tells us that you know the end from the beginning. Lord, we are at the precipice of a very important moment in our history. And God, we know that you not only know what the outcome will be, but you also know what the outcome should be. God, we're reminded that your word tells us that there's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing that you cannot do. So our prayer tonight, God, is that you would grant the people of the great state of Ohio godly wisdom, that as we go into our polling place, into the voting booth tomorrow, God, that you would guide us. You would guide us. And Father, your word says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turns it whithersoever he will. Lord, if you can turn the heart of the king, you can turn the heart of the people of this state toward you, toward life. And God, that as this time comes upon us, we're praying that you would release to us a season of revival. Use this event as a watershed moment in our state. To raise up a banner of righteousness and give people hope that God is yet able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and all that we think according to the power that works in us. Father, your word says that I have not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that you have prepared for those who love you, but they have been revealed to us by your Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Lord, we know what you desire, what you want in this hour. You love us. You so love the world that you gave your only begotten Son. And God, since you gave your Son, you sacrificed your Son. We don't have to sacrifice ours, and we don't have to see infants slaughtered in the death chambers of the abortuaries. God, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for touching hearts and minds in this hour and in this season. I thank you that the thief, the deceiver, the trickster, the supplanter, the accuser of the brethren, the wicked one, shall be defeated. Lord, you've given us the victory. You always cause us to triumph. And Lord, we know that the money is on the other side and the media is on the other side. But, Lord, we're on your side. We stand in agreement with you. We stand in agreement with you that you have come that we might have life and that we might have life more abundantly. God, we know that in an hour like this, that Satan has come down having great wrath because he knows he only has a short time. We're living in that last day. God, give us the courage. Give us the zeal. Give us the strength. Give us the enthusiasm. Give us the energy. Pour your Holy Spirit out on us again afresh that we might experience times of refreshing and that wherever we are, wherever this prayer and these words might be heard, that hearts would be changed and minds would be converted unto you. I thank you, God, for every baby and every womb that you love. Lord, your word says that before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and ordained you, and I sanctified you a prophet. God, I thank you for every unborn prophet that you desire to bring into this world, and that you stop the hand of the wicked one. You stop the hand of the deceiver. You stop the hand of the destroyer from taking away the life of these precious ones that you've called before the foundation of the world. God, I thank you for raising up brethren like those of us who have gathered here tonight. God, that will lift up our voice like a trumpet. Father, you tell us in your word to cry aloud, spare not, to tell the people of Israel their transgression and your people their sin. God, that's what we do because the people need to hear, not with itching ears, but God, I pray, according to your word, you tell us that if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, how will we prepare ourselves for the battle? I thank you for people like Brother Ernie and my friends on the phone, God, because our voice will not be obscure. Our voice will not be unclear. The clarion call that we make, God, will draw a line between the holy and the profane, between the right and the wrong, between the good and the evil, so that it's so plain that neither fool nor wayfaring man would err therein. God, I thank you for victory tomorrow. I speak it forth. I stand on the promise that you have made to us, God, that we shall prevail. And you said, upon this rock you'll build your church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not prevail against it. I thank you that the gate hell of abortion, the hell's gate of abortion, will not prevail. Lord, we know that Ohio is a test market, and what works in Ohio will work throughout the nation. And the Antichrist spirit is preparing to do the same thing that he's trying in Ohio throughout this nation. I thank you, God, for stemming the tide. Father, your word says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I thank you, my God, for lifting up a standard in this season, in this time. And they probably think, most probably think it cannot be done. But God, I pray that, I pray thanks in thanksgiving that it is done, and that when it is done, we might be able to say, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. I bless you for this. I give you praise. I thank you in the name that's above every other name, even Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. That was a great prayer. Let's take a look at some of the reasons why people out there need to understand why they should not vote for this nightmare. This nightmare, this comes right from the pit of hell, and it's pushed out there by demons, folks. One, issue one creates the right for late-term baby kills all the way up to the very time of birth. And you know how these are now. They're pushing to where even after they're born now. And these babies, do they feel every bit of pain when they're being dismembered by these animals?
Well, you know, think about this. John, the so-called Baptist, leaped in his mother's womb at the salutation of Mary. And so if a baby can experience emotion based on something that's external, surely a baby can experience pain, and science proves that it can by things that take place internally, especially going in and literally vacuuming a baby through his mother's womb and ripping it limb from limb. The way this amendment is written, it doesn't do anything that would specify when an abortion can or cannot take place. It is completely open-ended and subject to interpretation. And what will happen is liberal judges will interpret it as you can abort a baby whenever you can. The same kind of judges, you know, Ohio has passed a heartbeat bill. It says once a fetal heartbeat can be detected, you can no longer abort a baby. It was passed in the General Assembly. The legislature, both House and Ohio Senate, voted for it. Governor DeWine signed it, and a liberal judge came in and has held that law up for 3 years.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you, going all the way back, you remember the, what they call the partial birth abortion bill? That was actually, in the beginning, it was brain suction. I worked on that. I was a part of that. And the same thing with the heartbeat bill. I worked, Jen Porter and I worked on that right from the very beginning. And so you're right. It would take away all of the work that we've worked for all of these years trying to show mercy and trying to save these precious babies. This piece of legislation from hell, or this amendment, you might say, from hell would destroy all of that. Now, it also says this. It includes a so-called health exception that would give these baby-raping, child-molesting abortionists the ability to legitimize any abortion at any time. And not only that, let me tell you this. A lot of people don't know this. They have done abortions on girls that weren't even pregnant. They didn't care. They wanted the money. It was done for money. And all you have to do is get some kind of little piece of flesh coming out, a little bit of blood, and they'll say, well, you know. And so girls that were not even pregnant brought in, because anyone that would kill a baby, and if you could invent a brand new sin tonight, if you could invent a brand new sin tonight, the left would have it in their articles of faith by tomorrow, okay? Because that's how wicked it is. But just imagine that, to go through life thinking you killed your baby when you didn't. And these girls, like I said, the ones that kill their child, and by the way, that the word woman is not used. Instead, it's called an individual.
That's now, right. So that there's no age stipulation whatsoever. Here's one of the scary scenarios that I've actually communicated multiple times. If this thing were to have, this amendment were to be passed, a 13-year-old girl could go to school, go to her counselor or school counselor, say, I'm pregnant, I want an abortion, get an abortion on her lunch break, and her parents would never have to be notified because all this amendment gives lots of protections. And in this scenario, that 13-year-old girl would have every protection with no necessity for parental notification whatsoever.
And so not only that, but here, the so-called right to reproductive freedom with protections for health safety contains absolutely no protections for health and safety. The only one that gets protections is the bloody abortionist. They need to, you know, right now they're supposed to be nearby hospitals or associated. They're not. They don't have any, they won't need any admitting privileges, okay? And so not only that, but listen, I mean, now this, remember the world and the time that we're living in. We're living in a time of insanity. And so not only, because it doesn't use the word woman, but not only would that say any individual, would that say a 10-year-old girl, but these teachers in these public school systems today, they could tell these boys that you're really a girl in a boy's body and you're pregnant. You need to go in and take them. I mean, they'd say, well, that's crazy. It is. But look at who we're dealing with. We're dealing with people that are insane.
It would also give protections to what they call transgender care, which is not care, but it's transgender anything but care. care of it. It's transgender negligence, but it also
child abuse, mutilation. The words I would use, absolutely.
Genitalia mutilation. These puberty blockers. The Cleveland Clinic and Children's Hospital are two of the worst offenders. Two of the biggest, most notable medical facilities in our area. Both of them are heavily involved in prescribing puberty blockers and doing surgery on teenagers to take away their sexual organs.
It's, you know, again, this is insanity. It's absolute insanity. This is why I'm saying, you know, for 50 years, Joe knows, Pastor Jeff, for 50 years I've been on the radio telling people, if you love your children, get them out of the public school. If you love your children, take them out of the public school. And, you know, back in the very early 70s, I myself and a lady named Martha Lippitt, we were pioneers in the homeschooling movement and here in Ohio. We started it. We got it going. And because Martha was the, she actually had a one-room schoolroom with a Ten Commandments on the wall and a Bible on her desk, and you had the ACLU, the communists came after her. That's when she called me, and we started, we fought them. I said, let's go after them. Let's go after the bloody communists. And so, and that's where the homeschooling movement really got started here in Ohio. Now, here in Michigan is the ghost of Christmas future of this ballot measure. In other words, not even a year in the passage of Prop 3 in Michigan, Michigan communists are ushering through legislation that will fulfill their goal of baby killing through all 9 months. They take parents completely out of the picture. They totally eliminate common sense. They totally eliminate health care and regulations. They take away all the protections, actually, from the women, of course, you know, the baby, and even enables sex abusers and sex traffickers. They enable them by getting rid of coercion screening. And so, again, this is evil. It's done by very evil people. These are very wicked and evil people. And the same people that have poured all this dark, bloody money into Ohio, they're the ones that they're behind the child sex trafficking here in Ohio, and there's a lot of it here in Ohio right now, folks. Believe me.
I have been told that Ohio is a top three destination corridor for sex trafficking. Us in middle America, Ohio, I was flabbergasted to hear that. But it's really big business, and as you've probably seen, with the flood of the people coming into the southern border, lots of prostitutes. There used to be a DNA test administered when you brought a kid in through the border. Joe Biden took office. He stopped that because that was keeping people from just bringing kids over to be sold for sex. Well, now the floodgates are open there. I've heard estimates as high as 10 million people that have come through the southern border since Joe Biden took up residence. I won't say he was elected president, since he has taken up residence on Pennsylvania Avenue. And he is, I'll be honest, he is far worse than I could have ever imagined any president being in American history when it comes to the abortion issue, the human sexuality issue, the energy issue, the foreign policy issue. If you name an issue, we've never seen a president worse than this president.
Pastor Jeff, some years ago when he was senator, I was walking down the hallway of the Russell Building there, and I got halfway down, and there was nobody in the hallway. It's unusual, that long hallway, and a door opened. And who stepped out right as I went walking by but Joe Biden when he was a senator? And he puts his hand out and he says, I'm Senator Biden, and who are you? And I said, well, I'm Pastor Sanders. And he asked me, he said, what are you doing here? And I said, I came down here for the pro-life march. He says, you know, not everybody's pro-life. I said, God is. And he started walking a little faster. He said, well, you know, he started saying, well, people have different opinions. I said, look, you're pro-life or you're low-life. And he took off. This guy, you ought to have seen how he picked up his step. He started moving much quicker. And I did, too. And he broke out in a flat-out run, Pastor Jeff. He broke out, and he got in the elevator. And I expected him to stick his tongue out at me, but he didn't. But that was your Joe Biden. Remember the guy that beat up Popcorn or whatever his name was?
Corn Pop.
Corn Pop, yeah.
Corn Pop. That had to be the weakest gang in the history of all humankind. Corn Pop?
well, listen to this. Remember, he was going to take President Donald Trump behind the gym. Now, what do you think would have happened if he...
I'd love to see that.
Trump said he'd love to see that, too.
I would pay for that on pay-per-view.
Yeah. There you go. But that was something. Anyhow, then let's get into this. And here's my opinion. Tell me what you think, both of you men. But I was very, very pleased. And this is why I think we have a good chance of winning tomorrow. I think we have a good chance of winning tomorrow because I don't know one pastor that I know that has not come out and encouraged his, and I'm talking about the people I know. I'm not talking about this Tim Ahrens, this apostate, this minister of Satan out there in Columbus. I'm talking about pastors that I know. I don't know of one that has not come out and told his people they need to go out and they need to vote no on this. This is the first time that I've seen the signs. Now, we always do it in our church because there's no doubts. We're sold out for right. We're not a 501c3. We're not afraid of Caesar. We are sold out to the Lord. And, you know, we would always put the signs out in our churchyard. But this is the first time I've seen all these churches out there with vote no signs in their churchyard. And for that reason, I believe that we have a very good chance of winning this. Now, why do you think, Pastor Jeff, that the pastors seem to be all in this time?
Well, I think what they have been able to see is that standing on the sidelines will only result in defeat. And the absolute in-your-face wickedness of this amendment is unavoidable. And they, for the first time, they see that they could actually lose the respect of their congregation by not taking the stand, where they used to be able to hide, avoid, stick their head in the sand. This has been so prominent, it's such a big deal that it's unavoidable. But, you know, a chump will avoid whatever they can avoid. And so these guys that have been chumped, they just were able to avoid it. It's so in your face this time, they're not able to avoid it, so they have to deal with it. Many of them have spoken up where they wouldn't have. I don't know how strong they're speaking up. I don't know that I've gone 3 weeks in the last 15 years without mentioning abortion. And I had a lady visit our church who's from a very prominent Baptist church in our city, had been there for 20 years. She came to our church, and I wasn't teaching on abortion, but it came up. And in my pulpit, Pastor Ernie, I have a soapbox. And so when I get to certain issues, I actually go and physically stand on my soapbox.
Way to go.
So I go stand on my soapbox, and I just hammer the abortion issue. He tells me after the service, Pastor, I've been in church for 25 years. And you know what church I go to? It's called New Salem Baptist here in Columbus, Ohio. He said, I've never heard my pastor speak against abortion.
Wow.
You would never come to our church for a month and not hear me mention that. Because I don't know, and here's something I say, Pastor Ernie, abortion has got to be the most evil and the most racist thing that has ever happened in America. I mentioned this to you earlier. You may be talking to the descendant of someone who was enslaved, but you will never have a conversation with the descendant of someone who was aborted. We all know that the racist history of abortion, and it is amazing to me, especially, that any church, because you know the abolitionists were basically Christians who helped bring about the end of slavery, and especially any black church who would not oppose abortion, not only on the moral grounds of it being murder, but also its racist origins with eugenics and Margaret Sanger's connection to the Ku Klux Klan and her so-called Negro Project. And this kind of really, it still gets under my skin how any preacher of the gospel, particularly and especially one who is either black himself or has black Americans in his congregation, and you will not raise your voice, stomp your foot, slam your hand upon your pulpit, and say this is absolutely contrary to God's will in every way. It's wrong. You want to start? I'm not a guy who plays the race card, but I'll tell you this. The one place I play the race card is when you bring up abortion, because there's nothing ever in the history of America that is more racist than abortion.
I still have a cassette tape that I played years ago from Jesse Jackson. And Jesse Jackson years ago was saying that abortion was black genocide, and if it hadn't have been for his aunt, that he would have been aborted. He might have been aborted had not been for his aunt. And so that abortion
Jesse was actually adopted. He was adopted. So he certainly could have been in line for an abortion.
Yeah. So what happened was, that's the way he felt until they said, Jesse, you got to sell your soul. You got to say, if you want to go places, you want to climb the ladder in these politics, you just got to sell your soul, boy. Larry Wilkins and, I'm having one of my senior moments right now. One of the fellows that was Larry Wilkins, Pastor Wilkins, was very close with Martin Luther King in the beginning. And he was telling me how that in the beginning everything was on the up and up. But he used to say that how Martin Luther King used to say, you got to quit that lying, boy. You got to quit that lying to Jesse Jackson all the time. And so, of course, he was Bill Clinton's spiritual advisor. And during that time, he had gotten a woman pregnant and made her abort her baby and kill the baby.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. But I'm not a big fan of Jesse Jackson, never have been. Nor Al Sharpton. There are two people that call themselves reverend, but you only see them in a church when there's an opportunity to get in front of a news camera and somehow profit off of some kind of tragedy in the community. And as it pertains to black preachers, another thing that I've said is that the black church, because you know the statistics, ovulating black women in the state of Ohio are about 4% of the population. They account for 47% of the abortions. That is extremely disproportionate. And the black church is married to God, but in a nasty affair with the Democratic Party. And I think that thing not only has to be exposed, it needs to be expunged. We need to break free as a community. Break free from the plantation of Democratic politics. And you know what Lyndon B. Johnson said? Let's give them enough stuff to keep them voting Democrat for the next 100 years. And he used the dreaded N-word in that particular context. And it's happening. And abortion is their favorite behavior because it keeps their slaves from outnumbering them. And this is not a black and white issue. This is a Democrat and non-Democrat issue.
It's a sin issue, and the sin is against Almighty God.
And, you were right on one thing about keeping the blacks down, but I've seen it in the same thing in white churches the being silence on abortion keeps the people in line, keeps them happy, keeps them from joining the battle. Years ago, my wife and I were on the board of directors of a large maternity home and crisis pregnancy center. And one of the things I did was go around talking to the churches to get churches to support the not only the pregnancy center, but the big maternity home we had. And I ran into many churches. One of the first big surprise I got was walking in, sitting down, and first thing they did was said hello and all this. And they were bragging about, well, we give $500 a month to Planned Predators. And I just sat there for a second, almost unable to speak, because I came there, trying to raise money for life. And they're donating this much money every month for death. And the pastor was there. I looked at him and I said, you are pastoring this church? These people are proud of giving money to people who kill God's precious children in the womb, children in the image of God. And the pastor just kind of hung his head and stayed in the corner, finally got up and rushed out of the room, ran out. And I started, trying to do a little preaching, and they kind of wanted me out of there real quick. And then I realized, as I went on around the area, the richer the area, the more liberal the churches, the more they did not want to hear about abortion was murder, and that the church should be standing for what God says. And it was one of the big eye-opening, they kept the people happy. The women had their sex, had their abortions, kept a lot of the things
quiet. I don't have time to tell you about it tonight, but I did the same thing happen to me. I preached in an apostate church, which literally caused a riot in that church. But we're up against it. We're going to be back right after this, and then we're going to take your phone calls at 888-677-9673. We'll be right back after this.
The doctor did our dirty work, so now we pay the bill. We thought he solved our problem, but our life's a living hell. I toss and turn in bed at night, 'cause God, it's hard to sleep. In my heart and in my mind I hear a voice that says to me, you could have took me fishing, Dad. You could have taught me how to swim. I could have made you proud of me. Now I'll never have that chance. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I never thought of it as right or wrong, but I think about it now. Oh God, I'd give my life if I could just turn time back somehow. I'd let him live and watch him grow. Well, I'd buy him everything, but now he won't need a ball or bat. He'll never play one game. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have grown into a man. I should have had my chance at life. We could have been the best of friends. Daddy, did I have to die? God, the choice of life belongs to you. It wasn't hers or mine. And I know she feels the same way too. Sometimes I hear her cry. How can can we ever be the same or live with what was done? Instead of these two broken hearts, God, we might have had a son. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have to die? Daddy, did I have to die?
Yeah, no, you didn't have to die. If the pastors had done their job, you wouldn't have had to, and because child killing wouldn't be legal. And so that was Danny Ray, my dear friend, very, very talented artist, Danny Ray. And Daddy, did I have to die? And here's the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. Yesterday, we, doers of the Word Baptist Church, after the morning service, we went out to the Communist Party headquarters right there in Newberry at the corners of Route 84 and 87. The Communist Party headquarters are there. They got these big vote yes signs on issue one. We stood out in front, we lined up in front of the whole place, and we had people holding our signs saying, vote no. And the communists were beside themselves. And then one of our ladies went inside, and she talked to this woman who was inside the Communist Party, who happened to be one of the poll workers. And she was wearing a blouse or a smock or whatever you call it. But on there, it actually had the F word written all over it, Frank LaRose. That was the F word, Frank LaRose. F word, Frank. She had the word spelled out. This is the kind of a mindset. These are the people that are totally reprobate that we're up against. I mean, these are from evil people. Now, if they don't repent, if these wicked people don't repent, what's going to happen to them?
Well, that's pretty simple. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And so there's no get out of hell free card for those who refuse to repent.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. They're either going to repent or perish.
And if we got time, just real quick, brings me to something. They're having this big election in Virginia. And one of the very interesting thing is there are three people running. One lady was a sex cam performer. One was a big marijuana dealer and a felon. As you look through this thing, these people running for office, Don Scott in the 80th District, he's an ex-felon. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison for selling drugs in 1994. So now he's running for state office. And one lady is a 78-year-old grandmother who legalized pot in her state, helped legalize it, and runs a big cannabis store. And the other, Suzanne Gibson, first-time candidate in the House 57th District. And she made the headlines. The Washington Post revealed she had performed sex acts with her husband on camera and was uploading the videos to Chat Your Bait, a pornographic website. Here she is, a nurse, mother of two children, and defends herself that this is all perfectly normal, natural, and there's no reason why she shouldn't represent the people of Virginia. These are some of your Democrat candidates in Virginia. I kind of suggest none of them would really, they wouldn't be elected in Missouri. I hope they don't get elected in Virginia. And if you kind of realize these are the people that are behind these issues, like this curse of issue one there in Ohio.
All right. I didn't hear you what you said, Ken. Who was that from?
We have Glenn in Ohio. Glenn.
Okay, let's go take Glenn. Glenn, you're in the air from Ohio.
Hi, Pastor Sanders. Thanks for taking my call this evening. You know, we hear so much talk and debate about all these various different issues, and it just seems to me almost like a runaway diesel engine. In the last few years, my dad was a Baptist preacher in Indiana, and we always heard that we're coming up on the 12th hour, and you better be ready. It seems like not only in the last, I'm 47 years old, and not only in the last 20, 25 years, it's been getting worse, but it's just massively accelerated here, especially under the Biden administration. When they start fooling with the innocence of our children and they won't protect the innocent lives, I don't know what they possibly could value. So I am sick and tired of hearing all the talk and the discussion and the debating that doesn't seem to be gaining any footing, any ground, any momentum. It's like they keep doing whatever they want to do. They're not doing what we have elected them to do. So I'm not trying to advocate violence here necessarily either, but at what point here do we have to say talk is cheap and we got to get to action? Because I promise when you start violating my kids, I pray that the good Lord gives me some more mercy and grace. My fellow's well, pretty quick if you start messing with my kid.
Well, you know what? We're coming to that. It's coming to that, I think, very quickly. Like I said in the beginning, I unless the Lord intervenes, I can see us in a civil war because people are getting angrier and angrier. The wicked are becoming more wicked and the righteous more righteous, just like the Bible says. And so we're on a collision course. And again, this is exactly the way, in fact, that's where we started out today in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And if you go to Romans chapter 1, the last part, you see we're seeing exactly the way the Bible said it would be. So in that sense, things aren't really falling apart. They're falling right into place, and we know where we're at. So from Genesis to Revelation, God's Word, the Bible, gives you three missions, three. First and foremost is the Great Commission. That's first and foremost, mission one. Number two, from Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience to God. And the third point, we are to stand fast. We are to hold to the traditions of the apostles and not stand down, to hold our ground. So those are the three things that we are to do. And as the wicked become more wicked, those three things, if we stand their ground, are going to get us into a war unless the Lord comes back. And so, but anyhow,
thanks so much.
Thanks for calling. All right. What do you fellows think? Was I right on that one?
Spot on.
All right. Very
I
good.
I hope you're wrong, but I don't think so.
Yeah, well, I got a bad feeling that that's where we're headed. Unless the Lord should return. And, the wickedness is becoming greater and greater. It's just unbelievable. But God has raised us up for such a time as this. So let me ask you this. Has there ever been a time, a better time in the history of America to place up crowns in heaven?
No, because you can't, it's like you can't get medals of valor in war unless there's a war, and you can't run to the battle unless there is one, and right now the battle is everywhere around you. All you have to do is take one step any direction and you can join the battle, right?
The battle is raging.
It's raging and it's all around.
Absolutely.
Honestly, for some of us, it's unavoidable. I know some will try to avoid it. For others, it's unavoidable. I cannot avoid things God places in my path in order for me to address. I cannot ignore them and not address them because I have to settle up with God at the end of the night. And I can't imagine them saying, Jeff, I bought this before you, and you pretended not to see it. I don't ever want to have that interaction with God.
Well, you know, he kind of asked that same question, Pastor Jeff. If you go over in the Bible, the Proverbs chapter 24, here's what he says. And here's basically what you just said. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are being drawn into death and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? He that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his works? So in the day when you stand before the Lord and that bema seat judgment, and he says, well, what were you doing when they were killing my babies? The only acceptable answer would be everything I could to help them, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
I can't think of anything else that you'd want to say.
All righty. Let's go to Anita. Anita, you're in the air.
Hi, Pastor Ernie. I just want to share something with you real quick. Today I went to the DMV office at the Castleberry branch here of Orlando, and there was a woman out there with a clipboard asking me, as I was going in to get my tag renewed, would you like to vote? Have you voted? And I go, oh, I'm registered to vote. And so she and I was walking away. She goes, quickly, she said, well, there's something else. I'd like to know if you could just sign this petition. I go, what's it about? Oh, it's about women's rights. And I go, oh, no, you're not going to drag me into that. This is about murdering babies. And she just got really nervous. And I said, don't you dare do this. You know, you're murdering babies. And I walked away. And I looked back at her and I realized she's pregnant. And I said, how can you be pushing women to sign this when you're going to have your baby? All right. Well, the other day, I went a second week to the plasma center up in Stanford. And there was a guy doing the same thing with a petition thing. But the week before, he was asking me if I liked to sign. I go, what's it about? Oh, women's rights. I go, you're murdering babies. I won't have anything to do. Oh, no. I go, yes, you are. You're murdering babies. The next week, which was last week, he asked me again. He goes, oh, this time I'm not asking you this. I'm just wanting to know if you want to vote. I go, oh, no, you just took a break right now from murdering babies? How could you do something like this? A month ago, I went to L.A. Fitness in Winter Park, and there was this guy asking me as I was coming out of the gym if I would like to sign the petition for, women's rights. I go, no, this is about murdering babies. He goes, oh, no. I go, yes, it is. How can you be doing this? They're doing this everywhere, and they do it under the guise of, oh, it's just for women to have their rights. What do you think of that?
Well, I had the very same experience you have here, preterm in Cleveland, one of the largest abortion mills in the state. I think it is. And they had a woman named Diane. She's one of the ghoulies. She threatened me one day. She came out with a scalpel and threatened to do some surgery on me. And I told her, I said, look, I don't care if you're a woman. She's a big woman, a great big woman. I said, you come at me with that scalpel, and I says, take a good look, because I'll be the last thing you see in this life, okay? Mm-hmm. And so what happened was she gets pregnant, and she's, I mean, really showing. So I said, Diane, I said, how come you're pregnant? How come you haven't killed your own baby? She said, oh, this is a boy in here. And she said, I'm going to raise him up to kill white people. And I said, but Diane, most of the babies you kill there preterm are black. She said, I don't care. It's worth killing black babies just to kill white babies. That's
racism for you.
Well, that's what you have there. We're out of time, but thanks, Gil. God bless. How much time do I have?
God bless
it's
you.
It's total confusion.
Hey, how much time do I have, Ken? Okay, Pastor Jeff, you've got 4 minutes. Can you give an invitation. Tell folks out there in 4 minutes, only 4 minutes, how you can escape the fires of hell and how you can get to heaven.
Well, that's pretty simple. And going to hell is is a lot more difficult than going to heaven. There's a million ways to get to hell, which makes it confusing. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. And so it's accepting him as your Savior and following him as your Lord. And it may start with a confession, but it doesn't end there. That confession becomes a commitment. That commitment becomes a lifestyle. That lifestyle becomes a life mission. That life mission becomes a great commission. And you go from being lost and a sinner without hope, being not only a prisoner of hope, but also a pusher of hope. And Jesus Christ gives us the hope that we need, not only to change our lives, but to help others change their lives, not to have a better life, but to be more Christ-like. And there's a point where hell is no longer an issue. It's only the only reason to live another minute on this earth is to be pleasing in the sight of God. And somehow, some way, someday, to hear our Lord and our Savior say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord."
All right, so what do you have to do when you say it? First of all, you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner and only sinners can get saved, right?
Well, absolutely, but we're all sinners. We're born in sin. We're shaping in iniquity. It's only through Christ. The Bible said he that knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we cannot be righteous. According to the book of Isaiah, our righteousness is like filthy rags. We are made righteous by him. He shed his blood to cover our sins. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist, when seeing Jesus come to the River Jordan, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And the beautiful thing about Jesus, no matter what sin you've committed, no matter how many or how much sin you've committed, the Bible says that as far as the east is from the west, he removes our transgressions from us. So there's no sin too big that Jesus cannot cover it and take it away and make you as clean and as perfect as you were the day you were born. And
all right.
So one repents of that sin.
Absolutely. Pardon? Well, you have, again, the Word of Faith movement says that repentance is not necessary for salvation.
Except you repent. Jesus said, except you repent, you're going to perish.
Absolutely.
So, honestly, you can't come to Christ without repentance.
There you go. You've got
to try to separate the two, because then you'll be Christianized, but you'll never change. You'll never be converted. If you come to Christ, you repent. It is a part of the package. I'm going to change. Repenting means to change my mind and then change my behavior. So when I come to Christ, I change my mind. I make Jesus Lord of my life, and that changes my behavior.
So you need more than a profession of faith. You need a possession of salvation, don't you, to get to heaven already?
Absolutely. Hey, salvation is a relationship that's eternal.
Already.
Eternal. Amen.
We are out of time for tonight. So at this point, every night when we get to this point, here's what we do, Pastor Jeff. We say good night.
Night.
And we say God bless.
God bless. God
and then, bless. And then we say this. And always, 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 you ready?
Always.
Keep.
Always. Keep.
Fighting.
Fighting.
The fight.
The fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel, straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.